The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
All right, happy Friday. Man, I thought that clock said 8 o'clock. I was like, where did the first 2 hours go?
I wish, right?
Am I on the DeLorean? No, what a day, man. Going to get some nice weather this weekend. Chiefs play on Sunday night. Loaded slate for college football on Saturday. KU Mizzou basketball in Columbia.
Seriously? Is that this weekend?
Saturday, baby.
Wow.
I am juiced and ready to go. Get out the duct tape. Let's roll. It's Friday morning. Had a hell of a football game last night.
I love how our lives are so completely different, Dusty, because you're talking about these games this weekend. I'm like, well, I got a soccer tournament tonight. Oh. I got a soccer tournament tomorrow. Got birthday dinners this weekend. Got a birthday on Sunday. Got a choir concert on Sunday afternoon. I'm just trying to get to the Chiefs game. I love it.
Check that. Add something to my daily plan on Saturday. Getting a vasectomy.
Did you see that story about the vasectomy guy?
He died. What guy?
The guy who basically invented the vasectomy died yesterday.
How do you invent that?
Well, you just start
cutting, I guess.
You know? So our boss sends me this.
The blue wire or the red wire?
This guy, they call him Ronald Weiss is his name. He performed a vasectomy almost 60,000 times.
On himself?
No.
Oh.
No. 60,000 vasectomies this guy conducted over, I don't know how many years he did it, and he passed away, and people are like celebrating the man who allowed men to freely, you know, do their thing. I mean, 60, they're calling him the Wayne Gretzky of vasectomies.
Were you back in like World War II? Have you like had three strike downs in the sky? You're considered like an ace?
Yeah.
This guy's an ace times 10.
Times 60,000. It's actually like 58,900 and something vasectomies this guy's, you know, performed in Canada. He did 14 of these things a day, right? And he was done by lunchtime and then went out and played golf all afternoon.
I don't think he'd be eating.
7 minutes apiece. 7 minutes apiece is all the vasectomy took.
Wow.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. The story in the
is this, crazy. Is this like a new like Fesco endorsement?
No.
Fellas, do you want to get a vasectomy? I can tell you where to go in 7 minutes.
No, I'm not. That is something that I have never considered having done.
And really?
I know, I know there's a lot of guys out
tomorrow,
there
man.
That are like, oh my God, you should get one and whatnot. I'm not into elective surgery. You know, I like don't need to be there. Don't need to have it happen. So it's a battle that my wife and I have discussed for a very long time, and I'm just kind of like, nah, I'm good. And now we're kind of getting to that age where father time and mother time are ticking a little bit. They ain't gonna matter anymore. So this guy passed away. So if you've had a vasectomy, you need to be up this morning saluting Dr. Ronald Weiss, who is probably the guy that created all the other doctors that have been able to knock these things out. And when you're sitting there with a bag of peas on Thursday of the NCAA tournament on your nether regions, cooling them off. Think of Dr. Richard Weiss or Ronald Weiss.
I was going to say his name's Richard Weiss. He's doing vasectomies. No way, dude.
Richard Weiss is an old New York Times columnist. Dick Hoops Weiss is what they called him. Ronald Weiss, the Wayne Gretzky of vasectomies, dies at 68 years old. So salute him this morning.
Salute your shorts.
Yeah, that's
great
exactly
show.
Right. Salute this guy. Guys, if you've had your vasectomy, Dr. Richard, Ronald Weiss.
Like, there's no way. What's in this coffee?
Richard just seems to fit for the guy who invented the vasectomy.
Well, that's at 9 o'clock. We'll do the Richard of the Week here on Fesco and Dusty.
I'm already excited for yours.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing it, man.
But for the vasectomy, yeah. I was excited for your Richard of the Week.
Oh, yeah. But
it'd be weird if you were excited for Dusty's vasectomy.
I could care less if Dusty has a vasectomy or not.
I did not see Friday starting off this way. Because also, I felt like a Richard myself because I thought you were talking about Antonio Cromartie.
Oh, God.
Did you ever watch that Hard Knocks?
He didn't know the name of his kids?
He had 14 kids, and he had two.
Did you say Tyreek Hill?
No, he has 11. But Cromartie had like 14 or something, and he had one after he got a vasectomy.
Oh, that's right. Remember he that? Did. Yeah. So this guy, Dr. Weiss, Ronald Weiss, he is
Charlie's dad.
He's basically the guy who sent home the box so you could test your vasectomy to make sure it worked. Mm. And he said like 50% of the people would never do this before and then they wouldn't work. And now 80% of the people, once he sent the box home with them, would test their vasectomy immediately, make sure it works. And so, you know, you got to test it. You got to test it before you use it, right? Test drive it before you buy it or whatever they say. So
I think they consider it emptying the chamber.
That's exactly what they could call it. Yes, that's exactly what they could call it.
My fault, fellas. KUMU is Sunday.
Oh, Sunday?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Who the hell's going to watch that?
What?
What a stupid day for a game.
Yeah, that's getting buried.
That I mean, come on. That's dumb.
You want to double down on it? It's Sunday at noon.
No, it's not.
Is it really?
Sure, oh, my God. That is awful. That's crazy. Terrible planning. Like, that sucks. Seriously.
Sunday at noon on ESPN2.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's a bad look right there. I mean, that is a good game. And I hate Missouri as much as the Missouri people hate Kansas. We have that rivalry. It's fun and whatnot. But that's just, we could all agree on this, right? As both Missouri and Kansas fans.
I thought it was Saturday at noon.
That's a dumb time for a game. They probably don't want to compete with college football and all the championships and all that.
So you want to compete with the NFL?
So compete with the NFL, right? Yeah. So go out there. The ball is tipped and no one's here. Or watch, yes, because football's on. Right.
Your other noon games that day, in case you're not watching Red Zone, like we all are.
Yeah.
Atlanta, Minnesota, Saints, Giants, Jags, Tennessee, Vegas, Bucks, Cleveland, Steelers, Panthers, Eagles, Jets, Dolphins. So maybe I will watch Minnesota.
Maybe they saw an opening.
Maybe they knew.
They got the script ahead of time and knew this was not going to be a good noon slate, so let's slap the KU-Missouri game. See, you know, we talked about it the other day, like Duke and KU playing on a Tuesday and the Creighton-Kansas game
Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm. That's when Kansas-Missouri should be playing. Like, that's just a bad look by both schools to have this game buried on a Sunday afternoon at noon when literally the entire world is either out doing holiday stuff or getting ready for the Chiefs or watching the NFL. And I know TV dictates it all, but ESPN usually counter-programs the NFL with bowling. So is college basketball now in the same realm as bowling?
As long as that one drunk's still on there telling people, who do you think you are? I am.
Oh, that guy.
As the man.
Yeah. I still don't understand that saying.
I don't think he does. He blacked out, dude. He was hammered on Budweiser.
Because like a 10-year-old was trolling him in the crowd. Yeah.
Oh, is that how it started?
Seriously, there was a kid heckling.
Yeah, a kid was heckling.
This guy responded to a kid.
And he stands on business about it. I saw an interview with him like 10 years later. Oh, yeah. He's like, yeah, screw that kid.
What's his name? Munson or something like that?
Yeah,
like Roy Munson, I think is what that guy's name is.
Isn't it like Pete Weber or something like that?
Oh, that's right. Pete Weber.
Yeah. He's from St. Louis, actually.
I'm sure, yeah. The Bowling Hall of Fame is in St. Louis.
Many sources in St. Louis have told me that he is a town drunk that like owned a bar, bowling alley or something.
What was it, Pete Weber? That sounds like Pete a bar. Weber. Pete Weber's. Let's go down to Pete Weber's.
Let's go over to Weber's.
And you know what that bar is like, man. That is a towny type of bar, right?
My kind of bar.
Yeah, exactly. It's a towny bar. You get your free popcorn. You could probably still smoke at Pete Weber's, right?
I would hope.
Yeah, you got to. If you're going to have a bar in St. Louis called Pete Weber's and serve nothing but KOBs, the king of beers, baby, let's go.
Your meal parlay is a dip of a fried ravioli, a drag of a marble red, and then a chug of a Budweiser.
That's it. That is a St. Louis trifecta.
You're up, Craig. All right. What'd you just do? Spare 7-9? By the way, guys, there is another award, Mac, that you can take off the table.
What's that?
I'm so freaking proud of you, man. That's the way to show up. You talk about pressure, we live in pressure. That's where we freaking thrive. You did it again. All right? It doesn't matter who's playing for us. It doesn't matter what's going on. You always find a way to win.
Yep.
This has been in the making, man. This has been in the making. All right, we were all supposed to be here together, man. We're destined for this. Just stay the course.
Dan Campbell now -130 to win coach of the game.
Oh, is it dropping?
It might be over, boys, and I might be wrong because I have chills right now. I'm running through a freaking wall for Dan Campbell, man.
You know,
that guy gets it. He knows today football. He went for it on fourth down, four times, got it three times, and in the one time he didn't get it, they tried to criticize him. But I love what Kirk Herbstreit said. He goes, if you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He trusts his defense. They held him to a field goal. They went down the end of the game, got a field goal, won the game. Dan Campbell, man, he's got it, man. Like, we talk about Andy Reid, we give Andy Reid credit, and I get it. People say, oh, Andy Reid. Andy Reid has his style, and it works.
Yep.
You go to St. Joe, you sweat your ass off, you bust and grind everything every day, and you go through the season, you win championships. Dan Campbell, he's got his way, and it works. Jim Harbaugh, he's got his way, and it works. Mike Tomlin has his way, and it works. And you've been saying all week, as we wrap this entire week full circle, coaching, coaching, coaching. Yeah. Dan Campbell is big, big, big reasons why the Detroit Lions won that game.
There's no question coaching in the NFL, and I've been on it for the last decade because I've seen so many bad coaches in this league, and it's just so eye-opening when you see a good one because it tells you how many bad ones are out there, and Dan Campbell is definitely in that category of good coaches. Number one, going for it on fourth down last night, when you could have just kicked the field goal and given Green Bay the ball back, he's like, no, I trust my offense. Let's go out there. And then what he did after the game I think is exactly a page from Andy Reid's book. He credited his offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, because Ben made a great call on that. Ben made a great call. And that's what leadership is about, giving the credit to everybody else, letting everybody else be elevated by you. And I think Dan Campbell does an amazing job of that. And that really got me excited when I saw that. I'm like, Dan Campbell now is officially in the crowd of being a legitimate NFL head coach because he understands leadership and he understands it's about praising everybody else and not taking any credit for it. So, man, way to go, Dan Campbell. That fourth down play was that. I mean, that Ronald Weiss would be like, oh my God, look at the stones on this guy. I've never seen anything so big, right? I've done 60,000 vasectomies. Like that was a hell of a call by Dan Campbell to do that last night. And you know what that does? That builds trust in your offense now. That builds trust in your team. He trusts us to go out there and do that. And you love when your boss puts you in those positions and trusts you, and then you go and execute. So congratulations to them. I woke up to a text this morning from my friend Paul, and he says to me, he goes, God, if the Lions end up winning a Super Bowl, I think America's going to be in love. Like that's the team right now, you know, outside of Kansas City, that I think all of the United States of America has kind of fallen in love with, and rightfully so, because for the Lions, we're used to just Thanksgiving Day. We're used to the Hawaiian Blues. We're used to Barry Sanders. We're used to 4-12. And now they're winning. And it's much like when the Chiefs first came on the scene with Patrick Mahomes and started winning. Everybody, you know, jumped on the bandwagon nationwide because it was new. It was different. It was ending a long streak of losing. And the Lions are doing that in the NFC. They've won 11 straight games. They are beating Buffalo. I promise you that. Now with 10 days off, the Lions are beating the Buffalo Bills.
There it is. Calls a shot right there. But no, I mean, what I see in Dan Campbell is he's not only captivated a team and a message and a way to play and a way to win. Man, that stadium was rocking last night.
God,
and
that's
Detroit.
Did you see the coach of the Packers get in a fight with the flag holder before the game?
Oh, God.
Like they had fans out there holding the flag, you know, before the game, and this fan starts talking trash to
LaFleur was not happy last night. He was not happy with the refs, with the fans, and a bunch of stuff. I wasn't happy with the way that those two got to play on Thursday, and I'll explain that a little bit later on in the show. Kind of evolves around the Chiefs schedule because
The Chiefs, they don't care about them, they put them on.
The narrative of the NFL wanting the Chiefs to win, I think, is a little bit overrated and a little bit overhyped. But coming up on the other side, a guy that impressed us that came back last week that has another chance to do it again this week. We dive into that on the other side of Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on a Red Friday, Fesco, Dusty, Mac with you on 96.5 The Fan. Solid game last night. Lit up to the hype, I would feel.
Yeah, I think so. You guys do parlays and whatnot before these games. Did you guys have the over on Jaden Reed's reception yardage yesterday?
I did.
How are you doing that? You knew Mac.
No, you already knew I had that.
You did?
No,
I did not know. No, you did.
I didn't know if you were trolling.
No, you did.
No, I altered it up a bit even to make it hurt worse. But yeah, zero yards for their leading receiver last night.
On the Amara St. Brown podcast after that game a few weeks ago, he goes, "Wait till you see me in Detroit."
Zero.
It started at like 42.5, and all of a sudden it was up to like 62.5.
Really?
By the start of the game, it was bet up, and then he had no yards yesterday receiving.
If I had a dime for every yard that Jaden Reed had last night,
you'd be broke.
I'd have zero dimes.
I had no idea. I am sorry. I was not trolling on that one.
Sore spot, man. Come on. Like, damn, dude. I was like, I didn't know. I was like, I just went, I went quiet.
No, I honestly had no idea you took it with the ovary.
Yeah. I said it's dusty. I was like, dude, this sucks. What the hell?
And it's so weird, too, because Mac and I'll have conversations throughout the day. And like, one of the things we say is like, man, I think the over might hit.
Yeah.
And I told you during the show yesterday, everybody's loading up on Green Bay. I'm like, stay away.
Yep.
Detroit's going to win this thing. Like, all of a sudden, everybody came out of that woodwork yesterday thinking Green Bay was going to win this game. And Detroit went out there and showed why, you know, maybe they are now. I said on Monday, I thought Philly was the best team in the NFC. But, man, what Detroit did last night, it's hard not to say they're now maybe the best team in the NFC. Yeah. I'd love to see a Detroit-Philadelphia NFC championship game. I think that would be amazing, man.
Amazing.
Well, it's the time of Christmas, so, you know, ask Santa for that for the NFC championship game.
Yeah, they got that ball back with 350. And I thought I knew it was over.
It was done.
Yep.
Done.
3 minutes and 50 seconds. That's how, you know, they can just take time off the clock.
Talk about bleeding the clock.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why it's important to have Pacheco and
exactly.
You know, Kareem Hunt back right now. Huge. And even Carson Steele and P. Ryan a little bit. Use that running game. I think they're going to run the hell out of the football this week and bleed the clock like that. Like, can you imagine the Chiefs up, what, let's say 6 with 3:50 to go? They've got the ball and they just bleed the rest of the clock out, man, and end up taking a knee. God, I hope that happens Sunday night. Let's go.
That's when they get perfect. When they need to, and they need to be absolutely perfect, they seem to do it.
Uh-huh.
They've shown it enough this season, whether the team is Carolina, Tampa Bay, or the Raiders.
Right.
They tend to do it. Chuck O'Minihue should be coming back and being a force with the defensive line. I think he did play last week, right?
Yes, maybe he did. Yeah.
Over 30 snaps.
Yeah, 30 snaps.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's why we saw the Chris Jones breakout?
I think it has something. Yeah, absolutely I do, Dusty, because like if you have good people around you, you're going to be better at what you do. And then it goes like that with football. Like, you know, it's like everybody matters on that field. Mm-hmm. And if you're Chris Jones and there's really nobody else doing much along that defensive line, it's much harder for you because you're like, well, we'll just eliminate Chris Jones because nobody else is doing anything. Mm-hmm. And now Chuck Omenihu's back. And, you know, we saw him put pressure on the quarterback on Sunday or Friday afternoon, I guess, a week ago today against the Raiders. And, I mean, we were able to see that. So I think he's a vital part to this stretch run. Like, team's starting to get healthy, get a new left tackle, get your running back, get Charles Omenihu back. And I think if this guy goes down the stretch and has, like, 5 sacks the rest of the way, you have to seriously consider making him one of your offseason priorities from guys that are on your team. You have Bolton, you have Smith, you know, that are coming due for free agent contracts right now. You obviously need a left tackle, but pass rushing is key in this league. And if Charles Omenihu gets you like 5 sacks the rest of the way, he's got to be a priority for this team this offseason. I mean, would you agree? I mean,
oh yeah, absolutely. I would put that over Nick Bolton. I mean,
I would too. Yeah.
I mean, and again, Nick Bolton's a great player, but we've seen, you know, the impact that a pass rush can have and the lack thereof for this team these past few weeks. Man, if Omenihu, if that sustains what happened last week, I mean, I think that needs to be considered.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the money is, you know, hard to come by in the NFL these days with a $350 million salary cap. But if they want to keep a player, they will keep a player. And I think Charles Omenihu, man, if he plays great down the stretch and into the postseason like he did last year, he's a big player for us last year in the postseason. Like, I think that's a guy you have. And last year he said he wanted a new contract. Like, come on, you haven't done anything. You barely played. Now you're hurt and all this kind of stuff. But if this guy makes his impact shown from here on out, he's a guy you got to consider signing in the offseason.
I also don't think he'd be a very expensive player to sign. So I don't know if Nick Bolton would be still out of the question. I think Trey Smith is probably the number one acquisition you make in the offseason, in my opinion. I think you keep that interior alignment together because
Agreed. That
hasn't really been the issue. I know that people have been like, well, watch the last couple of games. There's been some tackles that are a little bit questionable. Now I saw that Juwan Taylor is questionable for the game on Sunday.
Well, something I read on X, formerly Twitter, by Matt Derrick, a Chiefs reporter, he said this is kind of par for the course where if a guy's a little banged up, they will practice outside on grass, but if they go inside on turf, Andy's like, no, we're not putting any pressure on you for that. So I saw that, and I'm like, oh, all right, maybe it's not as bad as the headline.
That makes sense.
Wanted to read, you know?
It just... Something's flared up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If that is the case, I worry that that is blood in the water for a shark named Joey Bosa.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Which Mahomes seems to always kind of counter Joey Bosa. Like, he'll rush. Mahomes and always like, kind of knows where he's at, steps up, and seems to get away with it. But
you're assuming Bosa's going to be healthy for this game on Sunday.
I mean, true.
There's still a couple of days, Dusty, before we get to Sunday, okay? He could fall off the plane steps.
That's fair.
I think I should know this, but if Taylor couldn't go, would it be Caliendo? I guess
probably.
That's, yeah, I'd assume Caliendo.
Or Wanya. Oh.
Well, I don't think, I think PTSD is too much. I was talking with somebody yesterday about that situation, and really over the last 2 years, and the response to me was, we've really tested 15's patients over the last 2 years, and they really have. I mean, the last 2 years, he's blown up at the wide receivers, blew up at the offensive line. I just can't see them if Juwan Taylor gets injured, Wanya Morris out there.
No.
Like, would you guys think Wanya is a scratch on Sunday, like on that reserve list where they don't suit up?
No, because inactive. The injury to Juwan Taylor that flared up. You got to have some sort of
insurance. They have to have, yeah.
He's probably third, but I mean, I think that he's probably like the third in line if something were to happen, but I don't think that he's going to be a scratch because you have to have that depth. Like, that's the unfortunate part about, like, you know, the bad situation is that, you know, he still has to play, but you just don't want to see him play that much.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
seeing that did kind of like throw a little bit of a rise in my mind where I'm like, oh, great. Of course. Mm-hmm. Like right here on a Thursday is when we get this information. Of course. But no, I don't think it's like a huge worry for me. I think obviously if he's going to be good to go, and like you say, with what Matt Derrick had to say, it's like also who's not hurt.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
14 of the NFL.
It's
right?
December.
Like, you're going to start seeing, like, Mahomes, questionable. Like, what do you mean? Limited practice. Oh, he just has a little sore ankle. Okay,
or
fair enough.
Or it's just a veteran day off.
And then Sunday goes out there and throws for 330 and whatnot. But before we get into Andy Reid and being impressive once again, I do want to bring this up because I do think that this game has potential to be a lot like the game we saw last night. Like, when I watched that Detroit-Green Bay game, man, Detroit and Green Bay have played two games this year that have been close, that have been dogfights. And I think both these teams in the NFC North are the teams of the future. I think Minnesota's good, but they'll have a slight rebuild next year because I don't think Sam Darnold will be their quarterback. I think they will eventually let J.J. McCarthy take the reins. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they give Sam Darnold another year.
They got Daniel Jones, dude. Like, let's not overlook him.
Okay. And I think if you want a rough draft of how you might feel emotionally, how you might see this game playing out, and I know that that was a lot of points on the board last night, over 51, which was the over-under in that game, I think that's where this game is. I think you can put some stuff aside where, yeah, Green Bay did a really good job of stopping the run last night, but Jared Goff still was able to throw the ball around the field all night. Jordan Love, same thing, had a great game. And this is a game where the Chargers have a good defense, great defense. The Chiefs have a good defense. Both teams know each other. Both teams play in the same division. They're the two teams in this division that I think are the future of it. I mean, I know Denver's knocking on the doorstep, but I need to see more. But seeing the head coaches of both those teams, seeing the quarterbacks of both those teams, seeing how those teams run, the chemistry both those teams had last night, I see a lot of that game and what this game could be on Sunday.
Well, and it all comes down to the offensive line, Dusty. I hate to be like just the guy when it comes to this, but I'm watching the game right now. It's on NFL Network again, and every play, the offensive line is taking care of their quarterbacks. They're protecting their quarterbacks. They're allowing them to have the time, and that's what Patrick Mahomes needs, and that's what Patrick Mahomes really hasn't gotten over the last you know, all of this year, maybe even a little bit of last year as well. I mean, I think the offensive line is going to be a major priority, obviously, this offseason for the Chiefs. I think it has to be the number one priority in this offseason. You have to give Patrick Mahomes protection. You have to give the guy the ability not to stand back there and have PTSD and feel like he needs to get rid of the football immediately because he has nobody in front of him to protect him. So I think, you know, I would love this offseason to see a Willie Rofe type of trade for the Kansas City Chiefs when it comes to that left tackle position, because it's obviously going to be very hard to acquire one in free agency. You don't know truly what you're going to get out of the college draft when it comes to offensive linemen, and if you're picking 30, 31, 32, 29 in that area where the Chiefs seemingly always pick, are you getting a great offensive lineman? Or are you getting the fourth best tackle at that point in time? So I'd love to see him do a Willie Rofe type of trade where they flip some picks and get themselves a mainstay at left tackle. Who that is, I don't know yet who that guy could be. Maybe it ends up being DJ Humphries and he ends up signing long term and plays well or whatever the case may be. But the offensive line is just so key to this. I'd love this team to put up points this Sunday. If the offensive line protects Patrick Mahomes and gives him time, we have an opportunity for a lot of points in this game.
Which we will see the arrival of DJ Humphries at left tackle, which should be somewhat reassuring to see if Patrick Mahomes can have more time, a little bit more time for those receivers to run a little routes, and then we start to see that sort of, you know, play develop, because it's insane what he's done the last 5 weeks. being sacked 20 times and still putting up 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns, and two picks.
That's the most impressive stat of the season, I think, in a bad way. Like, 20 sacks in the last, what did you say?
Five games.
20 sacks. He's been sacked 20 times in the last five games.
32 on the year.
32 on the
12
year.
12 previous 5 weeks.
And they're 11-1.
That's right. And now, again, there are those statisticians out there that will say, well, some of those sacks are on Mahomes. Okay. So
how do
say,
you know, though?
Well, you have to go watch the All-22. but the thing I will say is that, let's say that 15 of those sacks are still on the offensive line. There's still 15 sacks in the last 5 weeks. That's getting, you know, sacked three times a game.
Yeah. It's a lot. That's a lot.
Right. And, you know, the one thing that we always say is, you know, keep 15's jersey clean and you'll see the result be very clean as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that this is one of those games where I think that, you know, you can take your, and we'll do the script at 8 o'clock as we always do on Friday, but you can take your, whatever you know about these teams, what you think you know about these teams. I don't think this game is going to be that way. I know the last time they played, it was 17-10.
Mm-hmm.
It was in LA, but again, that Chargers team wasn't this Chargers team today. And like we said, Jim Harbaugh bought them all lunch pails.
Yeah.
You're going to need them on Sunday night. You're going to need to bring your lunch. And not only that, we talked about it at the start of the show. Every coach gets credit for being what they are, for who they are. Andy Reid's way works for the Chiefs and this organization and the fan base, and it's everyone's wrapped in it. Jim Harbaugh's been there for 13 weeks, and he has that team pumping. He has that team going well. He's got a new Justin Herbert. And you talk about, you know, pressure from Omenihue and Chris Jones and Karloftis and all these guys. Man, Justin Herbert, you've got to get pressure on
him.
Because if you let him sit back there and do it, he's going to do it. Because he's shown it. He's thrown an interception in 10 weeks. It's time to disrupt that.
Mm-hmm.
As big as a game as we talk about this needs to be for the offensive line, this is a big Spags game to me.
I don't disagree
because
with you.
What Detroit did last night with all their injuries on defense and all their injuries on the defensive line, they blitzed Jordan Love all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And he still put up some points. And he still was able to, you know, adjust at halftime. But you're going to have those big, you know, bullhouse rushes that get the quarterback disrupted. And Justin Herbert's one of those guys that if you can disrupt him, and I know this is the obvious, like any quarterback that has to, you know, improvise outside of Patrick Mahomes gets a little off their rocker. But again, put the pressure on Justin Herbert to have to throw that first down pass to Quentin Johnson to see if he can catch it or not. Switch the field, get your defense off the field, get your offense on there, work the clock. Because what Dan Campbell said was really important last night. We knew we had to have the offense on the field to end the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Chiefs need to do. They need to have their offense on the field to end the game. And if they do that, like we said earlier, 3:50, two timeouts, Chiefs have the ball, maintain, manicure that clock, and just continue to go on throughout the season winning. Go to 12-1 because then you look at next week. It doesn't get, it's Cleveland, but then it's Buffalo, Detroit. If that Detroit shows up against Buffalo, you then have a massive two-game lead for that first seed in the AFC, and then things get a little bit more easier for you in the playoffs, which that's not what the NFL wants. They don't want the Chiefs, and they don't want the word easier next to their name.
No, they don't, but they do want them on TV because they still generate the ratings, and so if they can give the Chiefs Lions a Super Bowl, they'll be very happy with that. But I think, you know, it is a big Spags game, and I saw Trent McDuffie say something yesterday that's going to be one of those kind of recurring things all weekend long for me. He says the secondary needs to develop their confidence back. They need to get their confidence back. And I don't disagree with that. You know, it's been a little bit of rough go for them in the secondary. I think some of that has to do with not being able to get pressure on the quarterback. And if you can't get pressure, it's hard to cover for, you know, 20 minutes back there. But I like his thinking. Like, he knows it hasn't been great. We've got to find a way to develop our confidence. We've got to find a way to get our swagger back, as they used to say, right? And so I think I think that's a good thing going into this game. I feel like just from the things that are coming out of Arrowhead this week publicly and even privately at times, I think there's a lot of focus right now on this game, like to a different level where they're like ready to rock and roll in this one. And you mentioned the 17-10 game in LA. People forget that game plan was thrown out the window on the first play of the game when Rashee Rice went down, and they lost their number one target in the first minute of the game. And they still found a way to win. And when you start looking at like impressive wins over the season, that week four win right there, that's a quintessential Andy Reid type of win. Oh my God, our number one wide receiver went down. We lost our running back, 2 weeks prior? What the hell are we going to do? We found a way to win that game. They found a way to win that game with their number one wide receiver, their number one target, knocked out of the game. They got to take the game plan, throw it out the window, baby, and see what we can do. And they won that game. Now they've had an entire 10 days, basically, to prepare for this team. and have the opportunity to put together a game plan that was probably a lot different than what we saw in the first time going against the Chargers.
You guys had a question on the rundown that says more impressive from Andy Reid, 11 straight appearances or the Super Bowls? Playoff-wise, what they mean by
11 straight playoff appearances, yeah, by Andy Reid.
On the cusp of, I believe it'll be 8 consecutive division titles if they win the West this year, which is insane. What is it to you?
It's the playoff appearances, I think, honestly, because they if they make the playoffs this year, which they did, if they make the playoffs next year, right, Mac, this is what we looked at, they make the playoffs next year, they will tie the all-time NFL record for most consecutive years in the postseason. And to be able to be good like that in this league that allegedly has parity in it, right? And it's so hard to win in the NFL, to have the opportunity next year to set the record for the most consecutive years in the postseason, you tie the New England Patriots from, like, what was it, 09 to
09 to 21. Yep.
To 21. You would tie the New England Patriots for the most consecutive appearances. I mean, that's why I always go back to Andy Reid, Coach of the Year. This guy has sustained success for more than a decade right now with this football team. Imagine if they made the playoffs his second year here. We'd be talking about this would have been the year where they set the record for the most consecutive playoff appearances in NFL history. Now, yes, obviously Super Bowls are in a different world on their own, but I just think 11 straight years in the playoffs and going for 12 next year, holy cow, man, that's wild to think about.
And we talk about the Patriots in that run, and we talk about, oh, you know, Belichick was able to change with the way football changed. Andy Reid doesn't get that crown as much. He's changed with the way football's changed as well from, you
big
know,
time.
Offensive to now what we've seen just in the last 5 years. Okay, hey, defense has now come back. He's like, okay, we got to run the ball. We got to take more time off the clock, time of possession, things like that. Andy Reid's like, cool, no problem. Blow the dust off another playbook. Let's bring it up. You know, he just has everything. Yeah, so I'd agree with you. The playoff appearances, I'd couple that with the AFC Championship game appearances to go along with that. Not only are they getting to the playoffs, they go to the AFC Championship game. What is it, seven?
Six in a row.
It's 6 years in a row. This will be the seventh. So that's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like that to me, to have that sustained success for all these years, that's hard. Once you get into the playoffs, it is a crapshoot. Everybody will tell you that. And the Chiefs have been, you know, great. I mean, they have bet the come line, they bet the pass line, they bet all the lines, right? And they're rolling dice, man. They're hot. They're hitting on 18 and getting a 3, you know, in blackjack. Like, they're hot in the postseason. But you have to be good to get to the postseason. And to do it 11 years in a row with two starting quarterbacks.
That's right. That's crazy.
Mahomes' last four games against the Chargers, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's 9-2 versus the Chargers. He enters December with a 22-6 record. There's a big reason why you've made 11 straight. Half of those are there because it's crazy, man. Like, when this team gets to the end of the season, when December hits, and I know I hate saying this, I hate being that guy. This is when the season matters for the Kansas City Chiefs. This is when everything seems to click. You remember late December, it was last year, though, against the Raiders, it broke them and brought them back to life and let them go on that Super Bowl run. And then they would go on and win, what, like 15 straight?
14 straight games. Yeah.
And then this season, you just had that disappointing win against the Raiders where everybody's pissed. You won 19-17, and Kelsey's upset. Mahomes is mad, and people are yelling at their coaches and stuff like that because it's a competitive frustration. It's not an anger frustration like it is, you know, with George Pickens. It's a competitive frustration with this team. And you play a division opponent where your quarterback is 9-2 against them. Your quarterback has totally shown a new sort of life towards the running of MVP, which we can get into that a little bit later as well. I know, roll your eyes. Matt Mahomes not going to win MVP. Hold on.
I was talking to somebody yesterday in league circles, and I said, we were kind of talking about like what Patrick Mahomes has done and whatnot, and I'm like, this is why he's the MVP. And the response back was, exactly. Mm. He's the MVP of this league. Like, I know he won't win the award, but there's no... You keep mentioning these 20 sacks in the last 5 games, and then you give his numbers, and they're amazing numbers with the 20 sacks, and they're 11-1. Like, Patrick Mahomes has overcome the loss of his number one wide receiver, the loss of his number one running back, the loss of his number two wide receiver, fourth left tackle that he's had, backup running backs. They're 11-1. He's putting up incredible numbers. Like, when you do the logical say it out loud test, nobody's more valuable in this league than Patrick Mahomes. This team is not 11-1 with Jared Goff. Probably not 11-1 with Josh Allen on the team right now.
Mahomes and Andy Reid, or I guess Andy Reid himself, 8 consecutive AFC West titles. You win this game, you'd be knocking on the door to slam it shut.
I think you clinch it, don't you? Somebody, I saw
Denver's still there, right?
I don't
couldn't
know.
Denver, if they went out, I guess they probably couldn't. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, you probably would. I mean, it'd essentially be like 99.9% chance that you win the AFC West.
I thought I saw yesterday that if they win this game, the West is over. I could be wrong about that, you know, much like everything else.
Coming up on the other side, we did our songs and artists wrapped around the year. We give you our five athletes this year that wrapped our minds all year long, or maybe that gave us some important notifications throughout the year. Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens, Mac Moore, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty, subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 96.5, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
It's a Red Friday here on Fesco and Dusty with Mac Murray as well with you. Could have heard him last night on After Hours. What was the out of left field question?
What did we do? We did... Oh, gosh.
That's a good one.
It was. Dang it. Oh, dream vacation destination.
Ah.
They made fun of me because I said skiing because they were like, cold. You want to go in the cold? I was like, yeah.
Dream destination?
Yeah.
Like the Swiss Alps?
Yeah.
Are you a skier?
Huge, yeah.
Okay, never once in my... I did one time I skied. Never again.
oh, it's so fun.
I'm scared. I'm not going to lie.
That's fair. It is scary.
It is, yeah.
It is scary.
Pizza,
yeah,
French fries. Pizza, French fries. If you do French fries, you're going to have a bad time.
Can you put French fries on top of my pizza?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
I think you can go to Grinders and you can get like a pepperoni pizza with chili cheese tots
in
the middle.
Yeah, you can, yeah. You can. Grinders is the bomb, man. I think they call it the bomb, actually, at Grinders. It's awesome.
It's a gut bomb.
It's so good. But so where would your ideal ski destination be then?
Well, that's kind of what I was like. I don't really have a destination. I mean, I've been to Colorado. So, I mean, somewhere in the Rockies would be super cool.
Oh, so you wouldn't go like as he mentioned, the Swiss Alps.
I mean, yeah, like that'd be sick. I mean, I don't know.
That'd
well
be
enough.
Okay to go Switzerland.
That'd be fine. If that's where the best mountains are, you know, I'd listen to a ski guy, you know, and tell me where the sickest cow
is. How about you Google best places to ski? I bet there's a list.
Could have done the prep for the segment.
I think I would go to Aruba.
That would be your dream
Jamaica.
Destination?
Ooh, I want to take a...
John Stamos.
I'm trying to think of where my dream destination would be.
Could be someplace you've been. Could be someplace, obviously.
Spain, I think, is where it is. I've always wanted to go to Spain. My best friend growing up was from Spain. Like, his parents were first generation.
Oh,
and so,
wow.
Like, I was immersed in their culture all the time.
Cool.
And it was awesome. The food, everything, just amazing. So, Spain, probably, for me.
Barcelona is the one place that, like, my number one in Europe that I want to go visit. So.
Oh, yeah. Cool. All right. Let's go. We take the show on the road.
Come on.
From 816, Bob, you're right. We win the West with a win on Sunday. Never doubt yourself. You're the man.
Okay. Well, I doubt myself all the time. I'm very insecure.
don't do that.
Yeah, don't be insecure.
I've shown you the pictures of, you know.
That was old you.
Yeah, true. That's but old you never really leaves, does it?
That's when you were Violet.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we all get that reference. But yesterday we did our Spotify/Apple Music Wrapped artists, like who we listened to the most or whatever songs you listen to the most.
Yeah.
So I kind of put like some together with athletes throughout the year of 2024.
Did anybody put the one guy on there who should be number one on everybody's list, but we're not using that name?
Littlefinger. No, because I did it in a different way. I did mine in a different way as of how I looked at it, like as of athletes that like they did something that a lot of people gravitated toward. Like, you look at music, right? Sabrina Carpenter, right? Espresso. No one saw that come out of nowhere, right? Mm-hmm. Kind of like Bobby Witt Jr., right? Bobby Witt Jr. stole baseball locally for everybody. That's my number one.
And like, nationally, too, I think, right?
And then somehow didn't get one first place vote.
Right.
Still sour.
But I still think Bobby Witt Jr. is a big reason why everybody's talking about the renaissance in baseball right now. He's a big part of that.
Him, I mean, he's literally, you say this out loud because it's true. You say Bobby Witt Jr.'s name in baseball, you then pair it with Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie Betts. Like, he is in that class.
You're giving me goosebumps, and I'm not kidding. Like, I mean, my entire body is shivering right now. That's so cool.
He's in that class of all-stars. The home run derby.
Yeah.
Right? We remember that. The playoff run. He didn't show up. Obviously, it's his first run. Let's not be too quick to judge.
Oh, I'm not. No.
So I think Bobby Witt would be my number one in the Wrapped Athletes of the Year of 2024. Number two would be Saquon Barkley. I had no idea what we were going to see this year from Saquon Barkley. New face, new place, offensive line, a place that believes in him, a place that he believes in.
Mm-hmm.
And Saquon Barkley is now second on the list of MVPs. Believe it or not, he is second.
Good for him.
Second best odds.
Behind Josh Allen, right?
That's correct. Yeah. A running back in the league.
In the league.
number three for me in my Wrapped Athletes of 2024, because basketball was played in 2024, believe it or not, still being played in 2024. Anthony Edwards.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
I say Anthony Edwards because for those people out there that don't like the NBA or don't watch the NBA because you don't have a local team, he's a guy that got a lot of people, at least in my friend group, that are all, me love football, me love beer, you know, those type of guys. Right. And they're like, man, this Anthony Edwards guy, he really makes the game fun.
Yep.
He was, you know, kind of gave you that Jordan vibe, like the explosion, one of the best perimeter players, can really give you any sort of play you want, can take you to school to the rim, can give you a fake jab step, put it in your face, and just absolutely dominate a game. Anthony Edwards, number three on my Wrapped
Athletes. He's Jordan's son, though, right?
When they say that? That's Jimmy Butler, man. Number four for me, no surprise here, it's golf. Scottie Scheffler, man. What that guy did on the PGA Tour is just disgusting. Won a gold medal. Won tournament after tournament after tournament. His odds in Vegas to win a tournament at one point got to minus 180 to win an entire
was
tournament.
Was Tiger ever at that?
Oh, yeah. There was a couple of them in like 90. If they had him. I don't know how to do the research, but they said he was like the best odds since Tiger in like 98. And he had at one point, he had a minus to win a tournament.
I see. That's
like,
insanity.
Most of the time,
right,
it's like plus.
Holy
like
cow.
That's unreal.
Like we were taking golf betting off when he got to like plus 350 to win a whole tournament because there's not enough juice to squeeze, right? You go for somebody like, I don't know, like a Jason Day who'd be like plus 1800 who's coming off a top five finish. You're like, okay, I'm going to ride that into this. Didn't work. Scottie Scheffler was number four on my Athletes Wrapped in the 2024. And number five, Simone Biles. Went out with a bang, right?
Yes.
Wins gold, was an absolute stud for the Olympic team of the United States, mm-hmm. was somebody that everybody knew. Look, I don't listen to Taylor Swift every day, but there's four or five songs. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why everybody likes this. I watched the Summer Olympics, and I'm like, okay, Simone Biles is on. This is why everybody watches, because it's flawless, and it's nice, and it's cool, and it's fun, and it's entertaining. Mm-hmm. So Bobby Witt Jr., Saquon Barkley, Anthony Edwards, Scottie Scheffler, Simone Biles, my top five Wrapped athletes.
You picked an Olympian, which I think is really cool, but like I got really caught up in the Olympics this year. I couldn't just pick one athlete. Maybe that breakdancer from Australia.
The track star from Raytown.
Track star from Raytown. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like the Olympics were great this year. I mean, the basketball was great. Everything was great about the Olympics this year. I loved it. Me, number one, is Patrick Mahomes. It will always be Patrick Mahomes for me when you talk about
He's
it.
He's Bruce Springsteen.
He just is. I mean, has to be for me. Like when was the last time we showed up to work and did not mention him in a 4-hour radio show? I don't know that there's ever been a time since he was drafted that his name did not come up in conference. Maybe that first year, but we were talking about maybe he should get in the game in that first year, right? Mm-hmm. Number two for me is Bobby Witt, because he is the focal point, the face of rejuvenated baseball in Kansas City, which is awesome. Number three for me, Caitlin Clark. On the list.
Nice.
Highest paid woman basketball player last year, or women's athlete last year. I think she made like $35 million, and her salary with the WNBA is like $76,000.
That Nike check pays, man.
Right, right. Yeah. So Caitlin Clark comes in there for number three for me. Shohei Ohtani. He's much in that Patrick Mahomes category to me as well.
Mr. 50-50.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was watching an interview with Joe Davis, who was the voice of the Dodgers, and he was talking about the 50-50 moment. I'm like, 50-50? Just thinking about that. 50-50! I mean, it's wild. So Ohtani's on that list. He's going to pitch next year. And then I'm with you as well. Saquon Barkley makes the list. I'll have more on him in our cover two when we coming up at 8 o'clock this morning when we do that. But Saquon Barkley's on my list because it started when the owner of the Giants says, well, I'd hate to see him go. And they're like, I'll let him go on Hard Knocks. And every day that gets brought up. And then he goes to one of your biggest rivals 90 minutes away, and he's having a potential historic season.
All-time
season. So, yeah, Saquon Barkley makes that list.
Some are saying the best.
I'll keep it going. Just a couple here. Number one for me, a little bias, obviously, but Jaylen Brown's going to be my number one athlete. I'm a Celtics fan, but this is a guy that
last year
everyone called out. So can't dribble with his left hand. He sucks. They need to trade him.
That's such a great thing to say.
Can't dribble with his left hand.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Mahomes can barely throw with his left hand. I don't know if he's better than anybody else.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't know, man. You can't use... Like, how many people can actually use their other hand to do anything?
Well, hold on.
Hang on a second.
Hang on.
But he won Eastern Conference Finals and Finals MVP, so way to go, Jaylen Brown. Derrick Henry, similar note to Saquon. I just felt like more people had counted Derrick Henry out maybe than Saquon just because of the age.
Oh, hell yeah, I counted Derrick Henry out, but I shouldn't have because, again, seeing him shirtless on the streets of Miami during the Super Bowl, oh, my God.
Wow. Just like the largest man ever.
It was unbelievable. Oh.
Yeah, he's a specimen, and at some point that cliff will happen, but he is an anomaly at the position. And then again, a little bias here in my own takes, but I was on the Sam Darnold island for 2 years, so it feels good to see him do well. So yeah. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's in there for you, huh?
Yeah.
All right. What about Daniel Jones? Is he on your list?
not yet.
No. That's the ultimate if you can't beat him, join him type thing. They couldn't beat Daniel Jones in the playoffs, so they went out and got him.
Okay, come here.
We always talk about Patrick Mahomes. This next segment, we're going to give you a reason. I'm going to sell my pitch, and so is Bob, and so is Mac, and we're going to have a lot of similarities here on why we think Patrick Mahomes should still be in the running for the MVP plus odds around the league. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5, The Fan.